Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. I don't feel like I should apologize for the long reading, but I understand it was probably a long reading from the first chapter of Samuel. But fitting for seeing the whole context of someone of the faith, a member of the household of God who goes through trials and tribulations like you and me and needs to go to the Lord in prayer. And we see in that story there that small picture of what prayer looks like. And I wanted to focus on that because prayer doesn't come that easy. I think the unfortunate reality is that prayer appears so easy on the surface that we forget the need to pray in our own lives. I know I do. I think of prayer in a lot of ways like working out, because it's something we should probably do often. It's good for us. Something so easy and simple like working on your legs or working on your body in a workout is easy on the surface. It's easy to think about and tell yourself this is something you should do if it's good for you. But if any of you know what it takes to work on your legs just one day a week, or on that special day you work on leg day, the next day turns into be a pretty tough day for you. Because your legs are tired and now you have to use them every day during the day to walk around to get where you're going. Your legs are tired and now you have to use them. That's what I mean when I think about prayer, why I think it's so similar, because we have to work on it and we have to be in conversation, because that's simply what prayer is at the end of the day. Prayer is a conversation with God. And we engage in that conversation all the time. We engage in conversations with people like our family. We talk to our coworkers. We talk to the waiter, the checkout lady. But when it comes to talking to God, that can be a struggle. At least I know for me. Aside from what we do here in worship on a regular basis, it's hard when you ask yourself, when is the most often we reach out to pray? Maybe we do so when people around us are hurt. Life is hitting hard, friends and family are sick, or you hear bad news from a friend close to you. Maybe in those instances, we might find time to send a prayer. But even then, the situation doesn't always invoke prayers or stop us in our place to say a prayer. We instead might tell our pastor and hope that it gets on the prayer list, which is a good thing to do, obviously, but hardly do we pray in that moment. We pray the most when we're in quiet moments of suffering, I think. You didn't get that job you worked hard for, that relationship you thought would flourish died in divorce or separation. You're distressed with the circumstances of your own life. A virus is impacting your life in a way you wouldn't expect. Maybe a child you wanted did not happen. You find yourself in a moment of silence driving in your car, and then maybe then you pray. Praying for something to happen to you, for your life to turn around, for your wishes to be fulfilled. Hannah found herself in this moment of suffering and distress, and she prayed herself. And Hannah follows that same line of women in God's story who are barren without children. And here, though, we see that one of our women pray for a child to be brought to her. And this prayer is a deep prayer, as you could tell, full of hurt and despair. A prayer perhaps we might find ourselves familiar to. But Hannah is different here. And I think it might be tempting to read the passage and assume that this common idea, that we lift our prayers to God in our distress, and the Lord needs to answer my prayer in my petition, to my desire, with either a yes, a no, or a maybe. Maybe wait. But I think we miss the whole point of prayer if we take this surface level approach. What we say when the Lord listens to our prayers, to all our prayers, we're not saying we should pray anything we want. Because prayer is not talking to myself or laying out my own wishes. Prayer is a conversation with God. The prayer that Hannah says is part of a conversation. Her prayer is not warranted on what she deserves or what she needs to survive. Her prayer is premised on love. Because think about your own relationships with your family and friends. You talk to each other in a different way. You talk to each of them in a different way. Think of the relationship you had just with your parents when you were kids, in contrast to how you talk to your own children. There's a certain way you talk with them. With your parents, especially growing up, we told them what they wanted to hear, and we knew how to interact with them in a respectful and honored way. Sometimes, maybe, as we got older, less so. But there's a relationship there between a parent and a child, whether you're the kid and that's your parent, or whether it's your own children, that you speak to them in a different way. You knew how to talk and what was appropriate to the conversation. Now, I'm not saying that God is sensitive to what you say and that you should be careful so you don't get put in time out or something. But what I am saying is that God, the one who knows anything and everything, wants to have a conversation with you. He knows everything and everything, and we don't even need to send up prayers because he's already got stuff figured out, and he's going to take care of it the way he sees fit. There's really no reason for us to pray. But the Lord, in his invitation, stoops down to our own level so that we could talk to him. Should we then consider how we talk to the Father and Creator who stoops down to talk to us? I think Hannah knew how to talk to this God. And that's why this story seems a little bizarre to us. She's distressed for not having a child and prayed to the Lord to hear, and then makes an oath to give this child to the Lord. Who does that, really? Imagine if we brought this into our own situations. Imagine, after years of trying and not having a child, of praying, and then in total desperation, you promise to give this child to the seminary to become a pastor and never see them again. And it actually happens to you, and you have a child. Our prayers do not go to the Lord unheard, because he really listens. And he does respond, and maybe not in the way you think. Hannah had the kind of faith that trusts in the Lord's will to the extent that she wasn't praying for her own needs or for her own control or power to have anything she wants. But it all was premised on love for the Creator, love for her own family. In 1 week, a week and a day, we'll see that the Lord even went so far to be in a conversation with his people, that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, in a human body to interact in the world, to speak words of promise to his people, to forgive sins, and to call his people back to his Father. Jesus Christ came so that He could talk with you. You are his beloved, and he came so that you would not fear in approaching your Father with your prayers, so that you could have a conversation with your God and know that he actually listens to what you have to say. Your concerns, your cares are now understood in the way you talk to your Creator. He listens to your pleas. He wants to talk to you. And so as we approach the end of this Advent season, the season of hope, waiting for the Lord to return and raise us up, think of your prayers as not only times when you are distressed and need to speak to your Lord and Father, or times to give thanks, but think of your prayers as preparing you to talk to Jesus Christ face to face. And when he stands before you and says, "Rise," ask yourself, what sort of conversation would you have with him? In Christ's name, amen.